right now going to have a conversation about a move that the federal government is making that a lot of people are shaking their fists at. A lot of farmers pretty upset by this move. This is an effort to help combat climate change, and it will essentially reduce fertilizer use. So the feds looking to impose this requirement to reduce nitrous oxide emissions from fertilizers, saying that the greenhouse gas that is created by these contribute to climate change. So you got to get rid of the fertilizer to try and combat these nitrous oxide emissions. Farmers obviously not happy about this.
Well, a great backlash over this, saying it's going to reduce yields. And if you're trying to feed the world and you're reducing how much you can actually produce, that's a problem. It's a problem on farmers and on producers. They're being put under the yoke for the purpose of climate change. And you've seen some people jump in and jump on board with this. Slow roll convoys supporting the farmers, saying that Ottawa is trying to take out farmers. You've seen situations that are similar in the Netherlands, where there have been major protests that have been going on. So you've heard a lot about that. So we wanted to dive through, you know, there's in all of these kinds of conversations, there is hyperbole, there is understatement, and then there's the truth somewhere in the middle. So we're trying to find out what is the case beyond the hyperbole. We're going to chat with Sherilyn Nagel, who's the past president of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, still a board member, just to give us some perspective on what is actually proposed, what's going on, and how angry some people should be. Sherilyn Nagel, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So, Sherilyn, when we're talking about reducing these fertilizers that farmers are using, can farmers work without the use of these fertilizers? Or is this something that means they would have to completely change gears and, like, livelihoods would be at stake here?
Well, absolutely, livelihoods will be at stake here. And it's incredibly confusing for us on the farm because I think, well, especially now coming out of a pandemic, always the Canadian economy has depended on agriculture and agricultural trade and exports. So, you know, the world looks at Canada. What can you do, farmers? What can you grow and what can you trade? And we've got this, you know, amazing mandate from the federal government to say we have to increase our agriculture exports, and it's a huge lofty goal. I think they want to increase agriculture exports by 55% in just a number of years. So farmers are geared up. We're ready for it. We've always adapted the newest and latest innovations. There's all kinds of farm shows happening now that COVID is over, and we're showing up for those to find out what's new and exciting. And certainly soil health and nutrient uptake is always part of our business plan. So we're gearing up for all of that. And then we have these rumblings about fertilizer reduction. And it's incredibly confusing because you cannot do one with the other. You cannot increase our agriculture exports and reduce our fertilizer. It's impossible. The single biggest opportunity for farmers to grow more on less land, because we're not getting any more land in the future. The single biggest way for us to do that right now is to increase our fertilizer, increase it, not decrease it. And, you know, as farmers, we have seen firsthand the benefits of increasing our fertilizer use, and not only increasing the fertilizer use, but making the most of it. We have, you know, contrary to what the federal government seems to believe about us, we pay attention to this. It's really, really important.
We
have all kinds of programs.
Do you think that they just don't understand? Because the Trudeau government says that it wants a reduction in emissions, not actual fertilizer, but you can't do one without the other. So is it a lack of understanding? Is it just coming from a point of view that's unrealistic?
That's semantics. That is semantics. Just saying, you know, putting their hands up saying, whoa, we don't mean a reduction of fertilizer. We need a reduction of emissions. It's just semantics. That's just for the public and for their benefit. Is they may not truly understand the requirement that farmers have for the fertilizer use that we have today. And to be really clear, fertilizer is expensive. It's more expensive. This is probably one of the most expensive crops we have ever put in. It's very, very expensive. All of our input costs are up, including fertilizer. We would not put that much fertilizer down if we didn't see tremendous benefit from that. So we are not, I've seen lots of media footage lately where they're trying to explain nitrous oxide and they're trying to explain fertilizer use. And they show these these fear-mongering videos of, there's much more things that are scary than a high-clearance sprayer, that's running around, looks like it's just dousing fields with chemicals and fertilizers. And to someone who isn't in farming, who doesn't understand the production of food and soil health, it can look really scary. And at the end of the most of these media stories, they're trying to wrap it up, and they say, one of the ways that you can help is to eat lower on the food chain, eat more plant-based foods. And I can't get over the irony of it, that they would suggest that a fertilizer reduction will help the environment, and what people can do is eat more plants when you have that one, swoop of the pen to reduce fertilizer by 30% will absolutely reduce the available plant-based food. The irony is crazy.
So, Sherilyn, is there something that the farming community can do to reduce emissions? Is there a different area that maybe can see some change that could have a better effect or move in the direction that the feds say that they want things to go?
Well, we are always doing things better. Every year we are doing things better. And that could be one of the most frustrating things that we're going through right now when we're talking to decision makers and policy makers, is we feel like we're on this uphill climb to share with them all of the things we were doing, because we took for granted that people knew the stewardship that we were already undertaking. We have land on our farm that this family has been farming for more than 100 years. And that's the case for most of the farmers in my network. They are farming for generations upon generations. And the goal is always to leave the land and the soil in better condition for the next generation than was left to us.
Yeah.
So that means we are trying to make good decisions. Everybody tosses around the word sustainability. Farmers didn't use that word before, but now that people are forcing us to use that word and ask us what it means we're making good decisions now and for the future. So of course there's things that we can do to get better, and we already are doing them. Anytime science brings us something new that says, hey, I think we could try this. I think we could try variable rate. That is something that farmers are doing, and sectional control. So that means those great big machines that you see out there that are planting the crop are also planting fertilizer at the same time. And we have these incredible mapping systems inside of our equipment, GPS type of equipment, which most consumers are familiar with, but it's more than just getting into the nearest Starbucks. Farmers use GPS equipment to be so specific about where we put the fertilizer.
You have extraordinary passion, and it's clear. I got it.
Coming through on the phone.
It's coming through very well. But we got to let you go here. But just before we do, look, you're gonna look for support and want support in this fight across the board. Some of the support, though, has come, how do I phrase this? So there's been slow roll convoys. So some of the convoy group has been in support. Does that, because of how that is seen by a large population in Canada, does that help or hinder your movement?
You know what? I think any opportunity we have to get the message out that farmers will absolutely be hurt by this, that the country will be hurt by this, yields will go down, food prices will go up, any opportunity we have to share that message is going to be helpful. Okay. I just spent a couple of days with a farmer friend of mine from the Netherlands, and she explained to me what is happening over there, the anxiety, the animosity, that the emotions are very high in the Netherlands because of their similar situation where their government has imposed a very high fertilizer reduction, and the farmers are going ballistic. And I got to tell you, I don't blame them. I don't know how we're going to get a rational conversation around something like this that seems incredibly irrational.
Okay, Sherilyn, thank you so much for explaining it to us and for sharing your perspective and your passion this morning. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for giving us the opportunity to share this issue.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.